Let me get a little sip here, and then we'll jump into it.
Do you want to get some salads?
Salads?
Silence.
Oh, silence would be good. Yeah.
The whole time.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. This is a podcast where we talk about the culture and history of death and decomposure. I'm Dorian. This is Max.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we goofed
this. This is the first official run through of the intro, so.
Yeah, we're getting it. How you doing, Max?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad we're recording in my very, very cold basement.
Studio.
Basement studio.
They don't know that. They think it's a studio. Just say studio. Makes us sound more official.
You know, we've got the three walls and the bed sheet that kind of encompasses us. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Very sophisticated setup here. And so we're going to talk about something that Max has not yet revealed to me. Max, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, so, you know, I could talk about the topic, or I could talk about what my weekend meeting was at work today.
Oh, okay.
We call them weekend meetings, even though they happen on a weekday, because we have kind of like a fun, quirky work environment.
Okay.
And we actually did it over email, so not even in real life.
Damn, this is sounding like the most un-weekend thing ever so far, but go ahead.
But my boss had included kind of a fun like icebreaker question, mm-hmm. even though we've all worked together for forever.
Sure.
And the question was along the lines of like, if you'd have a whole year to do anything you wanted without financial constraints, what would it be? Like something along those lines.
Mm.
So do you have any, like, what would you do? Whole year. No constraints.
Ooh. I would just not work. That's all I know. I'd probably read books. I was just talking with my friend today about how there's piles of books that I want to read.
Yeah.
And I own a lot of books, but I've read maybe three of them. And so I would read those. And probably learn how to read before that so I could read those books. And then, yeah, that's what I would do if I had an entire year to not worry about money.
You just learn to read?
Learn to read.
That's pretty good.
Finally do it.
I was thinking, and I had read a book a couple years ago where the character in the book gets like a round-the-world plane ticket.
Okay.
Where you're basically allowed to fly as many times as you want as long as you're going in the same direction.
Damn, that would be cool.
And I think that's also the plot of Lost in Translation. Which is a Bill Murray movie, but I've never seen it.
Is it?
The plot, or is it a Bill Murray movie?
I don't remember much from Lost in Translation, so.
Anyway, it's, I haven't even seen it. The reason I mentioned the Round the World ticket is because it's kind of similar to what kind of topic we're going to be talking about tonight.
Okay.
Which is Sky Burial.
Oh, hell yeah.
Only, like, instead of being alive and on a plane, you're dead and, like, ripped to pieces and in the stomach of a bird. And also, it's, like, 50 birds and they're flying everywhere.
Count me as excited, maybe more excited than any other episode that we've talked about so far.
Well, this is good, because when I was prepping this, I was actually like, oh, man, this is such a lame episode, like, it probably says something about the people I hang around with that as I was prepping this, I was like, everyone already knows everything about Sky Burial. There's not going to be anything that I'm going to say that no one hasn't heard before.
Well, I don't know shit about it other than, I think I might have heard in passing of Sky Burials, like the process of it, but I'm a blank canvas. Paint your bloody death-ridden
blood
knowledge on me.
Thing.
All over me.
I also don't really like birds, and birds play a big role in Sky Burials.
Really? What do they do?
Well, they're going to eat you.
Tight. So I bet you love that.
I it's pretty difficult to think about.
Excellent.
And they're like big scary vultures too. I'm not going to give too much away.
All right.
So sky burials originated in Tibet.
Okay.
They've been around and practiced by the Tibetan and people in Nepal for quite a while. A lot of the reasons for that is because it's really cold there.
Sure.
And the soil's pretty rocky. So if you're trying to bury a body, you can't really dig. You'd have to, like, move a bunch of rocks and stuff like that, and you'd constantly be hitting rocks. It's really tough to bury a body there.
Right.
There's not a lot of land. So any land that is loamy or soil-based, you kind of need for growing crops. It's hard to grow crops on a field where there's a bunch of bodies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And there's also no trees. Because a lot of the country is, the altitude's so high that trees can't grow there. So there's no wood for cremation.
Mm-hmm.
And any wood you do find, you want to use for cooking food. So it's, you know, you don't want to be like burning bodies and mixing that with your food. And it's tough. You don't want to like waste a pretty valuable rare resource on cremation.
Wow. So the sky burial was born out of purely practical process then? Just,
yeah.
It's kind of what you had to do with bodies?
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of it seems very ritualized almost.
Right.
Very coordinated and purposeful, but there is a lot of it that's just, you kind of have to do this because you can't have the bodies sitting around and you can't really bury them or cremate them, so.
Yeah?
Huh. What are you going to do? You mentioned you knew a little bit about it. What do you know about sky burial?
Basically what you said at the beginning of the podcast. I cheated a little bit. That's about it.
Because I think for a long time, I heard sky burial and was like, oh, it's what happens in like that Star Trek movie where Spock dies and they just shoot him out into space.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's not it.
They don't just like huck you off a cliff or something. Or
are you sure it's not maybe a combination of the two where they launch a body into the sky at the birds? And then the birds eat it?
Like they're like, I'm trying to think of something where you would launch food into something's mouth, but that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, it's a criminally underrated process for doing a lot of things, is launching, catapulting things directly into maw.
Into the bird's gullet.
Yeah.
But no, it's to the outsider, it's a pretty coordinated process, honestly. Because a lot of the country is Buddhist,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the people that practice sky burial are Buddhist, the idea is that when you die, your body is just another physical object.
Right.
So there's preparation and there's care taken with the body, but there's not exactly the kind of reverence like, oh, we need to preserve it and pump it full of formaldehyde that we would
right.
have here in the States.
Right. It's more about it becoming part of something else.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So a lot of these funerals will originate with like a home funeral
mm-hmm.
where the body will lay in state at the house for a while. And then at that point, they'll start preparing the body and just doing some ceremonial cleaning and washing. And then some monks will generally take the body and carry it to a flat hillside or outcropping and strip the body of all its clothes and then wait for a ton of vultures to descend on the body.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of intense. A lot of times the body will just be put out whole. There are some instances where groups of people have decided to slice and prepare the body.
Ooh, okay.
In some different ways.
What are we talking, like, just sections of limbs, or?
Yeah, they'll kind of piece it out so the birds can all get a shot at it.
Right. You said slice, and for some reason, maybe it's because it was the holidays, and we had, you know, sliced meats. That I just had this Damn. Very cartoonish image in my mind of very thin slice, deli size human
like a honey
slices.
Pan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not right, but okay, make it a little easier to
So
to
they'll
dissect.
Kind of prepare it and section it out a bit, but genuinely it's very symbolic and there's kind of a sense of this is your body here and the birds are going to descend and they are going to eat you.
That's so metal.
And so what I've actually done is I found a clip that shows a sky burial ceremony, and we're going to watch it.
You're fucking A right we are. Let's do this.
So we're going to put some intermission music in here while we watch this clip. I'm going to open a Muere Pepino LaCroix tall boy and really push that mic to its limits. And we'll be back in a few.
Horrific Tibetan
sky. Yeah, it's
sky
kind
burial.
Of a very
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Hideous Religious Ceremonies.
It's a little demeaning, isn't it? They got them all sliced up.
Yep.
Filet-o human. Oh, here they come. Oh my god. Vultures seem to follow the same kind of common courtesy as humans of, yeah. You know, hey, stay out of the kitchen until food's done.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
It's just bones!
Yeah, there's just this rib cage sitting there, and that's a human rib cage, and these birds are going to town. There's no flesh on them.
Yeah, it's no muscle, not even a dong.
I don't know what they do with that.
They ate the dude's dong.
That's it.
Very cool.
So I'll post that clip to our Facebook group and include it in the episode links for this podcast.
Yes. But
Dorian, do you want to describe what we just watched as best you can?
So, all right.
aside from the really exhibitionist
killer music
video title,
killer intro. So there's a big open hill. Very, what's the opposite of steep?
Flat.
A flat hill. Words fail.
Gently rolling.
A hill. Gently rolling hill.
Yeah.
/ plane. And it had to be like 400, 500 vultures all just kind of standing around. Camera pans.
And, yeah, and it's strange because they're not doing anything. It's just right. Like they're aware that some of them are going to get food and they're just kind of camped out on this hillside.
Which seems to me like this happens so regularly at this specific location that they're kind of like, okay, it's feeding time. We know that, you know, if there's all this commotion going on in this little town, then we're about to get fed.
Yeah.
Sure enough, camera pans over to a big old kind of open, kind of fenced off area.
Almost like a plaza or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely open air.
Yeah.
But with a big curtain in front of it.
Yeah.
Between it and the vultures, as if the vultures can't just fly up over yeah. this 5-foot tall curtain. and you catch a glimpse. There are some guys who are clothed head to toe, wearing surgical masks to cover their face, big old rubber gloves. And you kind of catch glimpses of what just looks like raw chicken.
Yeah, and like bags.
It takes a second for it to register as, oh, that's human meat. That has been skinned.
Yeah.
So like you were talking about, they kind of prepare the bodies yeah. for easy digestion. And then they drop the curtain and the vultures come swooping in and start feeding on the bodies. You can't really see too much initially because there's just so many
vultures. In. Yeah.
But they aren't attacking each other and they aren't attacking the people preparing the bodies and bringing them out.
Yeah, because these Buddhist priests who are walking around and opening the area for the vultures are not armored or anything. I don't like birds. I would like to be armored around these birds.
They're massive. I think that...
Like 3 feet tall and like thick birds.
Yeah. Ooh, she's thick. If you are like me, a sweet, innocent Ohio boy, and have only seen buzzards from far away, you don't really get a sense of scale. And I don't even know how big birds actually are, or buzzards are.
I don't.
But these guys, like, you know, full wingspan has to be 5 or 6 feet.
I'm going to check this really quick.
Computer.
In the meantime... My coworker told me a story at one point about how she was heading home from work.
Mm-hmm.
She got in her car and then she heard some skittering and there was a bird in the backseat of her car as she was driving. And I just keep thinking like, oh, if that was me, I would have bailed. I would have just rolled out of the car.
I would have just died.
Anyway, I found the size of the birds. So the bird has a 7.5 to 9.2 foot wingspan.
Cool.
They weigh up to 23 pounds and are about 48 inches tall, which is 4 feet tall.
Which makes it all the more incredible that they're not attacking the live human beings and they're not attacking each other. They all seem to be kind of circling around waiting their turn
yeah.
at this pile of body. It's not really a pile. The bodies are actually very neatly spaced out yeah. and they seem like they're arranged very deliberately.
Yeah.
There is some degree of reverence that these priests seem to be treating the bodies. You know, this is not just a body disposal method and nothing else. It seems like there is some reverence.
Yeah, I think that when people think of what this would be, it's almost like when you see, like, alligators being fed at a zoo or something like that.
Yeah.
There would just be a pit full of vault. I don't know why I keep thinking about these birds in a pit, because they can fly.
Well, it's kind of people, a pit.
They are kind of in a pit. They
put the bodies in what is essentially a very well-decorated pit.
Yeah, but, like, you think that they're just, like, throwing meat to these birds, and the birds are almost scrapping over it, but there is a lot of deliberateness and intentionality surrounding this, you know, which is interesting.
Yeah. And after a few minutes of this video go by, you start to peek through the crowds of vultures and see one circle of vultures just jostling a human skeleton. And it really is nothing more than a skeleton. It's still kind of red from the meat being on it, but the meat is gone.
Yeah.
It is an indiscernible, just a skeleton.
Like you're looking through the rib cage from the bottom.
Yeah. And they're just juggling it around as they're picking off little strings of meat that are left over on it. That's real. It's real wild too to see that and know that it's not a Halloween decoration.
Yeah, right. Like this is an event that would take place in public. The village would come together to kind of mourn the passing of this person, but also this wouldn't happen 5 miles out of town and nobody was allowed to go watch. And the priest would come back and just be like, "All right, we got rid of the body."
Right.
You know, it was a very public thing, and it is a very public thing.
Right, it's their funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Obviously, it would probably be different if I experienced one of these in person, but the ability to just see, like, a human corpse be disappeared would, I imagine, be pretty jarring.
Right, definitely.
So, that video can be pretty dramatic and sensational at times. Like, there was some dramatic music going on there, and...
Yeah. Dramatic.
Obviously, the title was Horrific Tibetan Sky Burial Ceremony, Vultures Feeding on Corpses. But a lot of the Tibetan religious philosophy behind sky burial is actually kind of interesting and pretty beautiful when you think about it. Basically, the body is an empty shell once the soul leaves it.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in reincarnation, so once you die, your soul is going to come back as something else. So the old thing, there's no reason to keep that around.
Right.
You know, it's not like you need to be, this body is going to rise again in its same form, so I need to make sure I have all 10 fingers and all 10 toes. So.
Right, they're kind of recycling the materials.
Yeah, because, I mean, they do believe that it's the ultimate act of kindness to perform a good deed after you die as well.
Hmm.
So there's this image of, even though I'm dead, I'm providing a useful service to nature, or the world which I lived in.
Yeah, wow, that is really cool.
Yeah. These vultures are animals, and they need to eat food, and one of the things they eat is carrion, and if I'm not using my body, and we don't have anything else to do with it, we might as well help out another living creature.
It's the circle of life!
I did write cycle of life in here a few times. Not circle, but cycle.
Oh. Is circle copywritten?
It is.
Please, Disney, don't sue us.
I typed it, and then Google Docs actually auto-corrected it to cycle.
Oh, Disney is watching.
Yeah. But this isn't really that dissimilar from the idea of Western organ and tissue donations.
Yeah.
Like we have. They couldn't transplant organs into each other when this process was created.
Oh.
I would have been pretty spooked if I would have lived thousands of years ago. And
you don't think somebody tried it at least? Just one time? You know?
So I'd be like, hey, this stomach doesn't work. Hey, man, your stomach doesn't work.
Wait, give me your stomach. Give me that stomach real quick.
Give me that stomach. Yeah. You look like you're able to eat things super good.
We're going to make a super Tibetan out of all the best Tibetans.
It's like $5-6 million man?
Or Frankenstein?
Or Frankenstein.
Something like that.
Oh, we gotta do a Frankenstein episode next Halloween.
For sure.
So they couldn't transplant the organs when this process was created, so they had to give them back and do something, and you didn't want a decomposing body laying around your village,
right?
Obviously. And also, you know, vultures, as we saw in this video, there's a lot of them, and they can be pretty pushy. It looked like they're big, you know. I wouldn't want to tangle with one.
Yeah, me and neither.
I've lived in urban areas my whole life.
And we're big boys.
We're large.
Listener,
strong.
Listener, take note. We're big. I don't know about... I wouldn't say I'm very strong. But we're tall.
You can kick really good.
I fancy myself a good, strong kicking boy who's tall. We got a few feet on these big-ass vultures.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't want to fight them.
I still wouldn't want to tangle with them, much less 400 of them.
No way. I saw what they did to human bones.
Imagine yourself as a farmer, and you have a cow that's kind of sick.
Yeah.
And this cow is where you get all your milk, and I guess not your beef, because...
Sickly beef.
You can't really, like, get beef from a living cow, but you get all your milk from this, and this is how you feed your family.
Yeah, that's my cheese cow.
And these vultures start going, like, yo, can I eat that?
Oh, uh-uh.
Yo, that thing's looking pretty old.
Right.
Can I chow down?
I see where you're coming from.
And you're out, and you're just in the pasture, and you're tending your cow, and these vultures start circling.
And back off.
Yeah.
Back off my sweet Betty.
Like, I'd just be like, I can't defend this yak from all these vultures, you know?
Right.
So part of this means that these vultures are sated for a while, and they fed, and they're not going to be kind of haranguing you and knocking your door down to devour your viable meat products, which you're going to eat yourself.
Huh. Thanks, vultures.
Thanks, vultures. And thanks the people who have donated their bodies to this.
Thanks, dead people.
And you mentioned it earlier, too. It's an interesting way that these people kind of engage with death in a much more upfront way than we do.
Yeah.
In Western cultures, death is kind of removed, and it's very far away, and it happens in a stainless steel casket, which is buried in a cemetery that has a big fence around it and
right.
stuff like that. And this is just up close and personal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you would exactly take your kid to this event.
I mean, I would probably take my kid, but that probably says more about me than it does about sky burials.
Would your kid want to go to the event?
Doesn't matter. Dad says you have to go. I'm going to make an awful father.
We're going on this field trip, kid.
You have to watch a dead person get eaten by vultures.
So what do you think about that upfront, up close and personal experience with death versus the kind of far away, detached thing that we tend to do?
As far as our culture as Americans and as Westerners, that's repulsive. That seems to be kind of the status quo. I find it fascinating. My mom is now a nursing instructor, but she was a nurse and going to school for nursing while I was a kid. And there's something about just seeing how human bodies work and seeing that.
Did you have like her old medical school textbooks that you were flipping through? And...
Yeah. Well, one of my earliest memories actually is I went with her to a class where it turns out that was pig dissection day.
Oh.
In a lab. And I walked in and I am told, because I barely remember this, but I took about two
How
or three steps.
You?
I had to be like 4 or 5
wow.
or something like that. It, seriously, one of my first few memories. But I took 2 or 3 steps and then just wheeled right back around and went out the door.
Nope.
Yeah, I was like, nope, 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 nope. So I don't know. Maybe for me, situations like that are, it's almost just like a dare. Like, oh, that's gross and I don't want to see it, but I'm going to see it. Like,
yeah.
Just to kind of egg yourself on. There's some kind of morbid fascination that's maybe fun, if I can use the word, about seeing dead bodies. Which is wild, but it probably had, I mean, I never had, I don't know, any kind of experience like watching someone die or something really horrific that would maybe like bring me back to...
Like ground you back to earth with that.
Yeah. So I don't know, just seeing that video, I feel like it's fascinating. And I feel like there is value in kind of being reminded of how fragile you are as a human being.
Yeah.
That, you know, we are essentially bags of meat. You know, there's no reason to think that we're immune to something like that happening or... from giant birds being able to eat our flesh if they wanted to.
Yeah.
It gives you a fresh perspective on life, I think.
It does, and that's actually something that the governments of these areas are kind of having to contend with right now, is that idea of almost cultural tourism.
Yeah.
And death tourism that kind of takes place in some of these areas. There are some Buddhist monasteries that have decided to open up this practice to Westerners or other Easterners, people of Asian descent,
mm-hmm.
who want to come and view this practice. And a lot of the governments of these areas have been like, whoa, you can't do that. That's really dark, and that kind of paints us in a really negative light, and it's really intense, and we don't want to have that be seen. But, you know, some of these monasteries are just out to make kind of a quick buck on people trying to see a crazy, creepy, new experience, but some of them are also legitimately like, this is our cultural heritage, and this is what we've done. And for a long time, we've been painted as savages because of this, because people don't understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we do want to demonstrate to people that this is a very controlled, calm, you know, aside from the vultures probably throwing blood everywhere, like it seems pretty right. sanitary and, you know,
right.
the priests are wearing masks so they don't get like weird bird diseases or anything
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, gloves, the whole kit.
Yeah. And it's not something that you would look at and be like, this is some crazy brutish way to get rid of a body and it completely destroys the sanctity of life.
Yeah.
You know? You're watching this and you're seeing these monks performing these prayers and rituals. And if you don't know that's a person there, then you're kind of just like, oh, this is, they're ritually feeding the vultures, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're basically, there's kind of an angle of like government censorship of this process.
Yeah.
But that almost seems to be leading to kind of a weird, obsessive view of sky burials and practices like this, where if yeah. the government sees a problem with it, therefore it must be bad and weird and morbid. And
yeah, and a lot of this does deal, kind of interact too, with how the Chinese government is kind of oppressing the people of these regions. The Buddhist practitioners of this in Nepal are really being restricted by the Chinese government, and this is something that they view as completely their culture.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government is trying to prevent them from practicing this, or at least having it be put on display. And they're like, we're not monsters. We're not crazy. This is what we have to do. And this is what we've done for thousands of years. And
right.
we want to show people that this isn't brutal and disgusting and monstrous.
Right. And like you pointed out, there's what else can they do?
Yeah.
Short of, you know, bringing in this process of dealing with their dead that is totally unnatural and weird to that region.
Yeah. And that's something that's important, too, is the way cultures deal with their dead is very important to your cultural identity.
Yeah.
And to have someone come in and say, no, you need to do this differently is really jarring, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So as far as how this has kind of gone to other parts of the world, people who practice the Zoroastrian faith uh-huh. will do a similar process where they'll actually build large towers, and they're called Towers of Silence. And this may actually get its own podcast at some point, but they are typically built in India, and it'll be this big tower
mm-hmm.
that you can't even really see into, where people will cart bodies up and place them on the floor of the tower, and then birds will fly in from the top and just descend, and the entire upper floor of the tower will kind of be covered in picked clean bones.
Oh, man. I bet that looks creepy.
Yeah, just floors
of
like
bones.
And these vultures have talons too, so if they're landing on stuff, they're going to break bones. And,
yeah, wow.
You know.
Yeah, we should definitely do another episode on that.
Yeah, they're pretty neat.
Pretty metal.
Yeah. So in the United States, you can't really be sky buried.
There goes my plans.
Yeah. Unless you like went to Colorado and got really dehydrated and were crawling through a desert like an Oregon Trail and some buzzards started circling above.
If you did it yourself, you got to really DIY if you want to do the sky burial process, which we do not recommend.
Yeah.
Do not DIY your own death.
Especially in a desert.
Yeah.
It just sounds really unpleasant.
We should probably not even call suicide DIY death.
No.
Let's just call it suicide.
Yeah. It's... So there's really no way to, if you want this to happen to you, there's really
right.
no way to make that happen. And I can see the appeal, because you are giving your body back to nature and you're
yeah.
allowing yourself to become a useful resource.
Absolutely. I'm all for it.
And also, it's kind of cool to be think about, you know, it's I guess it's your meat, but you are being flown by some birds to all over whatever the range of a vulture is.
And I'll tell you what, I have come to terms with the fact that this is probably the only way I'm going to be able to afford to go to Europe at this stage of my life. So I need this.
As if a bird eats you and flies over there.
It flies to Europe, yes.
Well, again, you're out of luck because they can't be performed in the United States because we have laws against, and this kind of belies how we view sky burial. In a lot of states, it's actually banned because it's considered to be the desecration of a body, is to feed it to wild animals.
Yeah. Well, fucking party poopers in the U.S. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's a real drag. But if you do really, really, really want to be eaten by birds...
And I do.
And I do. there's actually a few body farms which will practice having birds pick bones clean.
Yes, and we should absolutely talk about body farms in another episode.
Yeah, body farms are super cool and super interesting and super useful. Basically, it's a place where a... Actually, why don't you take that? Why don't you explain a body
farm? Well, body farms are basically these places that are used primarily for forensic research, but yes, they study the different ways a body can decompose.
Yeah.
And they will completely bury some bodies and leave them on top of the soil and in different climates and under different conditions. There's a lot of interesting stories that come out of those places, too, and it would be really fun to dig up the good ones. Yeah.
We should go
full
on
other episode, for sure. And we should do a field trip.
We should do a field trip.
Field trip. Oh, man, I would love that.
That would be awesome. Very, very fun.
Yeah.
So they're all over the United States, and it's basically a way to see how bodies decompose in different climates and under different, as you said, different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily to catch bad people who do bad things.
Yes.
And kill people and then dump bodies, whether they're buried or left out to the elements or thrown in rivers,
right,
things like that. So scientists will have a body donated to them, and then they will put it under these circumstances to decompose or be decomposed, and then research how the process goes so that they're better able to track how a found body would decompose and be able to establish kind of a timeline for the death of that person.
Right.
So a thing that could happen to you is you get killed and the person who kills you dumps you in the middle of a desert.
Please do. Please don't kill me. But if you're going to kill me, sky burial.
Sky burial.
Please.
Yeah, but this person would take you and kind of just drop you in a desert and be like, no one's ever going to find him now.
Right.
And then scamper away. And then your body gets kind of picked by vultures.
Right.
So actually, the Texas State Forensic Anthropology Center, which somehow has the acronym STARS.
That's just because they like that in Texas.
Yeah.
They like STARS.
There's some way you can rearrange the letters and what this place does to get the acronym STARS, which is interesting. They will accept a donation of your body. They'll travel up to 200 miles to get it. Since us being in Ohio, we would have to probably pay to have our body shipped there.
I'll do it.
I don't really know how you do that. I don't know if you can...
Is there some kind of, maybe if I do a subscription a la Amazon Prime, then like it'll be free two-day shipping?
Some guy shows
some
up
kind of deal.
In his Honda Fit and takes your body there and drives it there.
Yeah.
That also happens in the film Rat Race. Maybe it's one of those body donation things like that.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great flick.
Rat Race deep cut. But they will accept your body as a donation. And because this farm is in Texas and Texas has some buzzards, you're able to specify that you would like to have your body submitted in the what happens if a body is picked apart by vultures section of their body farm.
Awesome. I will check that box for sure.
Well, you can actually pull up the forms on their websites.
Ooh.
Which is pretty neat.
Sweet. Maybe we can include a link to that in the episode description as well.
And it's pretty simple. I'm going to just kind of spin this around to you and let you see.
Cool. Give me a chance to read these before I fill them all out.
Yeah, there's just this thing that says whole body donations.
Yep.
And if you tap that, then you can just scan down and there's some PDF forms to fill out.
Okay. Fair enough.
And on those forms, you can specify, I would like to go to the vulture unit.
Awesome. Is that where it'll say it?
Those are the body donation documents. I think it's that one.
Trust you.
Clicking around my computer is grade A radio. But also we're like watching videos and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we're getting through it.
We'll edit everything up down to a slim 15-minute episode.
A quick teener.
Memory Palace, here we come.
Get ready, Nate DeMeo. So that's basically all that there is to sky burial. Again, it's a really neat process that I think is pretty misunderstood and can be kind of misconstrued as this cold, unforgiving way to get rid of a body.
Right.
Where you're just like, I'm going to let my grandpa be torn apart by vultures.
Well, it's funny, I feel like, yes, that's true, but I almost feel the opposite, where I was expecting this to be way more brutal and ritualistic and ridiculous than it actually is, where the origins of this are so practical. It's just a practical way to get rid of dead bodies, which needs to happen. And you know, maybe in a future episode we can kind of explore what happens to a body when it's coated in formaldehyde and buried in an expensive coffin and all the things that we Westerners typically do. And how
it takes us 6 years to decompose.
Yeah, and all that. How sustainable is that really, as opposed to something like this, which is very sensible. And aside from how horrific it seems to appear, it's really the most sensible thing that you could do at that time.
Yeah, and there is a lot of reverence that this is treated with, but there's also the sense that this is what needs to happen. And while the funeral procession is underway, there's the air of seriousness and people are actually sad. They've lost a family member. But once the body is being prepared, it's almost like a wake thing. Like, there's a certain joy in being able to be like, my grandfather or my father or my mom, whoever has died, lived a good life. And I'm sad that they're gone, but I'm also really glad that they're still able to perform this really beautiful, selfless act of kindness from beyond the grave in a way.
Right.
So there's some joking and laughing and smiling and, you know, people aren't waving dismembered arms around.
Right. They're not having fun at the expense of the deceased.
Yeah. But like if a bird does something silly, people are allowed to laugh at it. Like if one of these birds flies into another bird or bonks its head or something.
Kind of cartoonish bird behavior.
Yeah. You know, it's treated as another part of life. It kind of just demonstrates how these cultures are really engaged with the act and process of dying and how that all works out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very serious and solemn until you get some white guy gawking outside with his camera like, look at this horrific sky burial footage.
Vultures feeding on corpses.
Totally unnatural.
And they're like, we've been doing this for years. And
yeah, it's actually not really weird. What do you do with bodies? Oh, you put them in plastic?
You pump them full of chemicals.
And then shove them in the ground?
Spend thousands of dollars to inter them.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm feeding other living creatures.
All right. Well, that's Sky Burials.
Sky Burial.
Thank you very much, Max. That's our episode. We'll include a lot of links in the episode description to some of the things that we talked about. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by the band Brat Curse. Thanks to our boys in Brat Curse for letting us use their song. You can check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. Thanks for listening. Right now, we're hosting our episodes on SoundCloud.
Yes.
So make sure you subscribe to that. We are looking into the ability to set up subscriptions through iTunes, through Google Play, through Stitcher, through things like that. But the fact of the matter is we need to get kind of a critical mass of episodes and some momentum going before that'll happen. So thanks for bearing with us. It will take some time, but we are working on it. Yeah, if you have any suggestions, you know, what podcast service do you use that we should look into? What episode content should we have? What are some things that we should
cover?
How are we doing? Is Dorian's voice really annoying? I can't really help that, so that's not very helpful feedback. But pretty much any other feedback.
We'll get like a voice
really
modulator that we can.
I'll come in with that toy Darth Vader mask that drops my voice an octave and muffles it. A Bane mask or something.
Batman.
But if you want to drop us a line, just tell us any of your thoughts, comments, questions. You can email us at predeadboys@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and tweet at us. We're at predeadboys.
It's an activity going on the Twitter there. I'm going to tweet out a picture of the studio.
Oh, yes. This very cutting good. Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Radiotopia is very jealous of us right now. Our production value. Also, if you're on Facebook, join our Facebook group. Just search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast. Should be the first result on there. You can talk about any of the episodes or any cool death stuff that you find or just podcast recommendations.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you guys. If you are listening, we really appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you. And hopefully you'll tune back in for whatever we cover next.
Yeah. So I guess until next time. Gonna come up with a tagline.
We'll figure it out. Hey, thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm just going to start recording, but hot takes. What's your brief review of Shape of Water?
I really enjoyed Shape of Water. I like a lot of Guillermo del Toro stuff. Pan's Labyrinth is very good.
Yes.
It was like a little more grounded in reality.
Sure.
But does involve, I don't know if you know the plot.
Just basically, woman loves fish man.
Yeah.
And I do know that fish sex happens.
Yes. The government, like, captures a mermaid, and basically, like, with all things in the world, half of the characters in the movie are trying to kill it, and the other half is trying to fuck it. So,
obviously.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
Wouldn't we all? Yeah, there is some weird... It's a weird description of it. It doesn't show anything, but there's, like, a weird kind of cloacal opening.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
It's worth seeing. It's pretty good.